الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن الدنيا أرض حاضر يأكل منه البر والفاجر، ألا وإن الآخرة أجل صادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر، يحق الحق ويبطل الباطل، ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة، ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار، ألا فاعملوا وأنتم من الله على حذر، واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, time is that great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that vessel whose motion is incessant, that which Quran describes, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ. Night envelops day, day envelops night, and incessantly this vessel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose accelerator is not in the control of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continues its constant motion. But contrarily, when compared with other vessels, as they move, when the accelerator is pressed, they move forward. But this vessel is constantly engaged in a receding motion, which Hasan Basri rahimahullah very beautifully describes. He says, Al-mawtu ma'qudun binawasikum وَالدُّنْيَا تُطْوَى مِوَرَائِكُمْ. He says that mort and death has caught hold of your forelock. It is staring you in the face. And وَالدُّنْيَا تُطْوَى مِوَرَائِكُمْ. And your dunya, your life, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this world, is being wrapped up from behind you. Like a block of ice relentlessly melting away in the sun, in exactly the same way, the life of this human being, that time, that mata, that precious possession, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every one of you, is gradually being eaten up like a sword that is slashing away at the root of a tree. Constantly that sword is slashing away. That day eventually will come when that tree will topple. In exactly the same way, Quran says, وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمْ لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةُ وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Every one of you has a promised time. Every one of you is given a set number of years, months, days, hours, minutes and seconds in this world. And when that mi'ad, when that promised time comes, لا تستأخرون عنه ساعة ولا تستقدمون, you will not be able to delay it by even one second. وإذا المنية أنشبت أظفارها الفيض كل تميمة لا تنفع. When mort and death will bear its claws, then no system or force or government or technology or science of this world will benefit you in any way. So many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam and oath on time. Wal fajr, by the oath of the dawn, walayalin ashr, by the oath of the 10 nights, walayli idha yasr, by the oath of the night as it passes, walayli idha yaghsha, by the oath of the night as it envelops, wal nahari idha tajalla, by the oath of the day as it brightens up, wal asr, by the oath of time itself. Not only does Allah Ta'ala take the oath of time, those instruments and those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala uses to bring time into existence. The following cars, Mercedes Benz ND288595, NU7863 a Toyota, and NPS10359 a Golf. These vehicles are obstructive. Not only does Allah Ta'ala take oath on time, but those vessels and those instruments and those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by which time comes into existence and by which time is measured, on that also Allah Ta'ala takes oath in the Quran. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَا, by the oath of the sun, by the oath of the moon, by the oath of the stars. With all these various qasams and all these various oaths, what message is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us? That not only is gold and not only is diamonds and not only is oil precious and valuable, but more precious than that, greater mata, greater possession that each one of you has is time. That one ah, that one breath that comes out, there is no force, no system in this world which is going to give it back to you. That tick, 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 tick of the clock. Every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bound by it. No one can resist its force. No one can stop its movement. This entire creation has been subjugated to the movement and to the ravages of time. This is your greatest mata'. This is your most precious possession. That wealth which you lose, it is possible that you will earn more wealth in future. That job which you lose, you may get a better job. That business transaction or deal that went awry, went off, you took a loss, it is possible tomorrow you will do a better deal and make more profit. But that time which is lost, those moments in this world which you wasted away, whether it be reading a frivolous novel, whether it be spending hours and hours in front of that shaitan box, whether it be visiting the dens of vice, the tick, 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 tick of the clock carried on. Every day, when the new day dawns, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the day makes an announcement, Yabna Adam, inni khalqun jadid, wa ana fi ma ta'mal fiya ghadan alayka shaheed. فَعْمَلْ فِيَّ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنِّي إِنْ ذَهَبْتُ لَنْ أَرْجِعْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. At the crack of dawn, the day announces, Ibn Adam, O insan, إِنِّي خَلْقٌ جَدِيدٌ, I am a new creation of Allah. وَأَنَا فِي مَا تَعْمَلْ فِيَّ غَدًا عَلَيْكَ شَهِيدٌ, and every action that you will do within me, in whichever manner you will utilize this new day which Allah has given you, know and understand that tomorrow I will be a witness in the court of Allah. Either witness in your favor or against you, depending on how you utilize the time of this new day. فَعْمَلْ فِيَّ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. So, what is the message? فَعْمَلْ فِيَّ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. So to the best of your ability, utilize me in pleasing Allah. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the manner in which he made his ummah understand the value of time. That ummah which today, as we mentioned earlier, whiles away its time, cricket match, soccer match, all forms of frivolous activities. Look at the manner in which he emphasized the value of time. He said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. He said, when you get up in the morning, do not even expect to live till the nightfall of that day. إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. When the evening comes, do not feel that tomorrow morning you are going to be alive. Don't feel when that azan is called out. When that azan is called out, think to yourself that is the last azan you are hearing. When that call towards some dini activity is there in front of you, when that opportunity is there to raise your hand in tawbah, when that opportunity is there to earn the nearness and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not delay, because you don't know if you will get another opportunity again. فَعْمَلْ فِيَّ مَسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Exercise yourself, exert yourself today, in this day. The day is addressing you. Exert yourself to the best of your ability in pleasing Allah. فَإِنِّي إِنْ ذَهَبْتُ لَنْ أَرْجِعْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَبَدًا. Because once this day is gone, once this day is gone, it is never ever coming back to you again. وَاللَّيْلُ يَقُولُ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. Janabi Rasulullah said, every night also the night says the same thing. And then once the day has passed, then the day makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi alladhi arahani min ad-dunya wa ahliha. Shukr my Allah. Gratitude to you, O my Allah, that you have freed me of the inhabitants of this world. You have freed me of this dunya. And the manner in which its inhabitants are earning your displeasure and are making zulm and oppression upon it. So my respected brothers, time is a mata'. Time is a precious possession. Our wealth, we look for bank vaults to hide it in. Our goods, we look for warehouses. We have security guards. The latest CCTV cameras, why we want to preserve and protect it? In which bank vault are you going to preserve your time? Where are you going to hide your time? How are you going to stop the ticking of the clock? The one hasrat, the one regret that even the jannati will have. Janabi Rasulullah said, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ فِيهَا. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the only hasrat and regret which the jannati will have. Allah will have given the jannati everything. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرْ. Allah says, I have prepared for you in Jannah things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined. Everything the Jannati will be given. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. For you in my Jannat is whatever you desire, whatever you ask for, and this is nuzul, this is ibtidahi mehmani, this is like the appetizer from غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمِ, from that Allah who is most forgiving, who is most merciful. Your desire, what you ask, this is ibtidahi mehmani. This is appetizer. This is the starting point. After this is what? لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Whatever you desire is the starter. Over and above that, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. From our side, we will give you things which you didn't even imagine also. Such a jannat Allah has prepared. Yet, even that jannati will have one regret. Janabi Rasulullah ﷺ said, the jannati will regret the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the time of this world which he wasted without the remembrance of Allah. That time in this dunya which he did not use to please Allah, to earn the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, even the jannati will regret that time. Such a valuable mata'. My respected brothers, every one of us is subjugated to the movement, to the ravages of time. Unfortunately, a living testimony of insan's ghaflat, of insan's negligence as to the value of time, is that whenever we face a milestone, whenever we face some event which reminds us of the movement of time, instead of putting on brakes, instead of reflecting, instead of realizing that this milestone in fact is taking me closer to my moth and my cover, what does this foolish insan do? He begins to celebrate. He begins rejoicing. Extravagantly and lavishly wealth is spent. What are you celebrating? I'm celebrating a new year. What are you celebrating? I'm celebrating my birthday. I'm celebrating my anniversary. I'm celebrating this. I'm celebrating that. All these various occasions which remind us, which are milestones of the movement and the ravages of time, are not occasions for celebration. They are occasions for reflection. Why? Because, my respected brothers, every passing year, every passing month, every passing moment is not a gain, it is a loss. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Yabna Adam, innama anta ayyam, in dhahaba yawmun, dhahaba ba'duk. He used to say, O Ibn Adam, you are a collection of days. Every one of you has a set amount of time in this world. In dhahaba yawmun, dhahaba ba'duk. Each day that is lost, in fact, a portion of you is lost, which you will never get again. Someone has a party, invites his friends, he says, I'm celebrating. What are you celebrating? He says, I'm celebrating, I lost 100,000 rands. Or I lost some precious possession. Everyone will look at him as if he's gone mad. Are you out of your mind? You lost something and you are celebrating. You lost something and you are celebrating. When a new year is celebrated or a birthday is celebrated, what actually is being celebrated? We are celebrating a loss. But because we have become like those blind people who have no imam and have made the people of Batil our imams, we have made them our guides. We have asked them to show us how to dress, how to spend our days, how to spend our nights, what our goals and our objectives in this world are. So even when it makes no sense, because they told us to celebrate, we are celebrating. Like the poet says, Inna lanafrahu bil ayyami naqta'uha. Inna lanafrahu bil ayyami naqta'uha. Wa kulla yawmin madha yudni min al ajali. Inna lanafrahu bil ayyami naqta'uha wa kullu yawmin madha yudni min al ajali fa'mal li nafsika qabla al maut mujtahidan fa innama al ribhu wal khusran fi al amali nujaddid sururan bil hilali idha bada wa ma hiya illa al sayf lil hatf yantadi. He says, O foolish insan, you become happy with every passing day. Why don't you realize, kulla yawmin madha yudni min al ajali, every passing day is in fact taking you closer to your mort. Fa'mal li nafsika qabla al mawt mujtahidan. So before mort and before death, exert yourself in amal. Fa innama ar-ribhu wal khusran fil amali. Because profit and loss and achievement in this world is not the wealth that you have amassed. It's not your investment portfolio. Is not how much you have collected of this world or how society looks at you. Profit and loss is one thing, and one thing only is how much you have gained the closeness of Allah. If you have gained Allah's closeness, you have profited. If you have distanced yourself from Allah, you have lost. Mamun al-Rashid, a Khalifa, ruling 3 continents, as a hallmark of his achievement, he builds a palatial home in which no expense is spared. He invites Abu al-Itahiyya, rahimahullah, pious man, come and see. Look at what I have put up. Look at what I have achieved. Look what I have amassed of this world. Abu al-Itahiyya looks at this glittering and shining example of human achievement in this dunya. مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا? What do you say about this? He looks at him and then he says, عِشْمَا بَدَالَكَ سَالِمًا عِشْمَا بَدَالَكَ سَالِمًا فِي ذِلِّ شَاهِقَةِ الْقُصُورِ يُسْعَى عَلَيْكَ بِمَشْتَهَيْتَ لَدَ الرَّوَاحِ وَفِي الْبُكُورِ. He says, enjoy yourself in reaping the fruits of what you have amassed in the deceptive protection of these lofty pillars that you have erected. يُسْعَى عَلَيْكَ بِمَشْتَهَيْتَ لَدَ الرَّوَاحِ وَفِي الْبُكُورِ. Morning and night, servants are running at your beck and call. When you walk into a majlis and gathering, people look up to you, so and so has come. You have become prominent, you have achieved in this world. But know and understand, whatever you have amassed of this dunya, you will not be able to stop the ticking of the clock. That tick, 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 tick. أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَا إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, O my ummah, why don't you reflect and ponder over the movement of day and night? يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ, every new thing is made old. يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ, that which you thought was far away, that which you thought was a long way in the future is brought nearer. That child is born today. In your mind's eye, you are seeing the day that my son gets married or my daughter gets married. In your mind's eye, you are seeing the day that your son graduates from university and becomes a doctor. In your mind's eye, you have made so many plans for the future. How quickly those days pass. How quickly those aspirations of the future which you had planned for become a reality. And then even more quickly, nowadays we see the janazah of that same son being lifted by the father and carried towards the qabristan. يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ, every distant thing is brought near. وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ, and every promise of Allah Ta'ala is brought to pass. That youngster with his Ray-Bans on, with that gold necklace around his neck, in the height of his youth, with the latest jeans and t-shirt on, stands in front of that mirror, folds up his arms, admires his muscles, looks at his physique from every direction. That young girl preens herself in front of the mirror. Her cheeks, the bloom of her cheeks were compared to the bloom of flowers. The twinkling of her eyes to that of the twinkling of stars. But why don't they realize? Why don't they realize it is just a few moons? Just a few years? How are they going to delay the onset and the ravages of old age? Which plastic surgery and Botox treatment and vitamin E and which cosmetic millions and billions of dollars are being spent, expended, wasted with one goal and object, delay the ravages and the signs of time? 14 centuries ago, Quran challenges you, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when we take you to old age, we will bring a reverse in your creation. We will make you like a little child again. We will make clear and apparent upon you the ravages and the signs of old age. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you understand? Why don't you understand that this dunya is temporary? This dunya is not your goal. This dunya is not your objective. What good? Plant all the flags of victory in this world you want. Become the ruler of as many nations as you want. Assert your authority on whomsoever you want. Whatever you do in this dunya is not your eventual abode, that 4-foot hole in the ground. What good are your degrees? And what good are your millions? And what good are the flags of victory which you have planted, when very soon that moment is coming, when you will have to answer before Malikul Muluk, before the King of all kings. That leaf which falls off the tree will never be able to be put, you will never be able to put it back. That candle which is burning, the wax will not go back. The wick in your lantern, as it burns away, you will not be able to replace that wick. That is lost. But the life in this dunya is not lost. Fulana aadmi intiqal kar gaye. Have we ever pondered over this expression? Fulana aadmi intiqal kar gaye. So and so has passed on. Not so and so has diminished or is lost. So and so has passed on. What is the meaning behind that expression? A day is coming. A day is coming. A day of justice. A day. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا أُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ بُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. How many different ways Quran draws your attention to this reality, that the time in this world is not lost. Those actions of yours in this world is not lost. You will be called to account. You planted the flag of victory. You exerted your oppressive authority in this world. Blood was spilt because of you. Rivers flowed with blood. Homes were bulldozed. You considered yourself to be the authority. But know and understand, لا تحسبن الله غافلا لا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. Allah says, do not ever feel that Allah is ghafil. That my Allah, na'uzu billah, has forgotten. That my Allah is not looking. That my Allah is not qadir mutlaq. That my Allah, na'uzu billah, has gone to sleep or has dozed off. La tahsabanna Allah ghafila. Allah is not ghafil over the actions of the zalimeen. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. They are being given rope. They are being given rope and a chance. But a day is coming when the eyeballs of man will be overturned. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mafhum of the hadith, he says that the Jannati one day will request Allah. The Jannati will request Allah. That Ya Allah, that disbeliever, that zalim, in this world whom you gave the upper hand over me, Ya Allah, show me his abode. Show me what has happened to him. The curtain and the veil between Jannat and Jahannam will be removed. And in front of him will be the manzar of that person who in this dunya made zulm and oppression upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That manzar and scene will be in front. On the one side will be the flames of Jahannam. On the other side This person will have nails that are 1 month long. His body will start itching. He will start scratching to alleviate the irritation. Gradually, his scratching will carry on to such an extent that he will start removing the flesh from his body. Eventually, all the flesh of his body will be removed. Only his bones, his skeleton will be left. But still, inside, that irritation will carry on, so that he will continue peeling away at the bones of his body. And the angel of Allah Ta'ala will address him and say to him, "Hada bima fa'ala bil muslimina fid dunya." This is your retribution and your saza and your punishment because of what you did to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this dunya. Allah is not ghafil. La tahsabanna Allah ghafilan amma ya'malu adh-dhalimun. Allah is not ghafil of the actions of the zalimeen in this dunya. The qurbani and the sacrifice and the hardships and the difficulties which in every era and in every age was the lot of the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This qurbani, this hardship, this difficulty, this pain and this suffering will not go to waste. It is that same qurbani and sacrifice, that same blood and that same hardship which will be used to water the gardens of hidayat, which will be used to change the halat and conditions upon the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But my respected brothers, we have to heed the onset of time. We have to heed the reality of the life of this world, that we are not an ummah that was sent to utilize its time in the achievements of this dunya. Abu al-Itahiya says to Mamun al-Rashid, "Yus'a alayka bimashtahayta, ladar rawahi wa fil bukuri." Servants are running at your beck and call, morning and evening. But know and understand, with your wealth, with what you possess in this world, you will not be able to delay or stop the ticking of the clock. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ فِي ضِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ السُّدُورِ. Know and understand, a day is coming. A day is coming when your heart will start palpitating in the depths of your chest. When on a cold day, your brow will break out into beads of perspiration. When you will feel that burning pain running down your left hand. فَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ تَقَعْقَعَتْ فِي ضِيقِ حَشْرَجَةِ السُّدُورِ. When moth and death will stare you in the face. فَهُنَاكَ تَعْلَمْ مُوْقِنَا فَهُنَاكَ تَعْلَمْ مُوْقِنَا مَا كُنْتَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورِ. Then you will know with absolute conviction that the life of this dunya was nothing but a deception. Muharram has come. The new year has come. نُجَدِّدْ سُرُورًا بِالْهِلَالِ إِذَا بَدَى. Like the poet says, every time a new year comes, every time your birthday comes, you start celebrating again. وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا السَّيْفُ لِلْحَتْفِ يَنْتَضِي. Why don't you realize that this is but a sword that is slashing away at your life? Muharram has come. The new year has come. Coincidentally, Allah has made it such this year that the Islamic New Year and that new year, which is measured by the solar calendar, have fallen very close to each other. In reality, both belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That calendar which is measured by the sun, that calendar which is measured by the moon, the lunar calendar, both belong to Allah ta'ala. The sun belongs to Allah, the moon belongs to Allah. But Allah ta'ala preferred the lunar calendar. That is why it was given to the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the reality, my respected brothers, is that we are not an ummah that acknowledge the new year with celebrations. We are an ummah that every new year, at the onset of every Muharram, are reminded of that great lesson and heart-rending incident of Qurbani and sacrifice, where 16 flowers, Ale Rasul, the direct descendants of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laid down their lives. First of Muharram was that day in which that personality whom Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. First of Muharram is that day when his Mubarak body was placed in the ground. And he had become Shaheed. 10th of Muharram, we are well aware, that personality, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he's sitting on the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi, delivering khutbah. His grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, little babies, Ja'ala yamshiyan, ya'atharan, they come in the masjid, they are still young, they're walking, they fall down, wake up and crawl, and then they start walking. Khutbah, Jumu'ah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the minbar delivering the khutbah. When he sees this manzar, such is the well of emotion and love in his heart. He stops the khutbah, descends the minbar, goes to his two grandchildren, picks them up lovingly, ascends the minbar again, addresses Sahaba, excusing himself. He says, Sadaqallah, my Allah Ta'ala has spoken the truth. Innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Your wealth and your offspring are a test from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I saw my two young grandchildren coming. They were crawling and they were walking. Falam asbir. I could not control myself till I did not go and pick them up. Such love and such attachment he had with them. How many were those occasions when he would openly say, Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa ahibbahuma. Oh Allah, I love both of them. You also love them. And specifically with regards to Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, Man ahabba Husaynan faqad ahabbani. Wa man abghadha Husaynan faqad abghadani. O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, that ummati of mine who loves my grandson Hussein, he loves me. And that ummati of mine who dislikes or harbors hatred or enmity for Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he harbors hatred and enmity for me. Yet, because the legacy of this ummah is that of qurbani and sacrifice, this ummah is an ummah that was sent and selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize its wealth and its life for the preservation and the upliftment of Allah Ta'ala's deen on this earth. So that this light of hidayat which Allah has blessed us with, its noor can spread to the four corners of the world. Because this is an ummah of qurbani and sacrifice, and in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have that namuna and example where Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you, in the Rasul of Allah, is the most perfect example. That is why, first and foremost, from himself and from his own family members, the greatest qurbani and the greatest sacrifice was taken. That same grandson of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the sands of Karbala, lays down his life. All he had to do was utter one sentence. One sentence only. He didn't have to mean it also. He just had to utter one sentence. Compromise the haqq. Compromise the truth. and his life and the life of his family will be preserved. But he was not prepared to do that. Why? Because through their actions, a legacy of qurbani and sacrifice had to be left behind for the ummah till qiyamah. Each year in Muharram, whether it is the businessman in the marketplace, whether it is that woman who leaves her home either as a net of shaitan or as an object of haya and chastity, whether it is the youth of the ummah that are either in the dens of vice or are filling their ears with the sounds of shaitan or filling their ears with the sounds of Quran, whether it is the lawyer who is using his degree to fill his coffers and become a zalim and an oppressor, or he is prepared to go hungry, but he will not side with the zalim and the oppressor. In every facet and in every branch of human existence, each year in Muharram, through this lesson of Karbala, through this qurbani of Karbala, where this beautiful flower, descendant of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sounds out the message to every branch and every facet of this ummah till qiyamah: become the oppressed one. Become the oppressed one. Let others trample over you and preserve the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your name will be raised in this dunya also, and your name will be raised in the akhirat. You will become my sati and my companion. Do not become the oppressor. If you will become the oppressor, then in this dunya also you will be disgraced. Like Ibn Ziyad and like Shimr were disgraced. And tomorrow your hashr will take place with the zalim and with the oppressors, with Shimr and Ibn Ziyad. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. Your hashr will not take place with the oppressed one, the grandson of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not an ordinary family. Yet even from them such qurbani and sacrifice was taken. This is that family in Khurasan. There was one woman from Ali Rasul, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her husband passed away. She had small children. They got into difficult times. She migrated to Samarkand, went to the governor of Samarkand and said, "Assist me, I am from Ali Rasul." He said, "Bring proof. Where's your proof that you are from Ali Rasul?" Everyone that comes here and asks for assistance says they are Ali Rasul. He turned her away. Someone told her, "Go to the home of certain Parsi fire worshipper. He will assist you." That night the governor of Samarkand is sleeping. He sees a dream. Beautiful palace in Jannat. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing in front of that palace. He asks him that, "Oh my beloved Nabi, whose palace is this?" He says, "This palace belongs to an ummati of mine, to my follower." So he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I am your follower, I am your ummati." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, "Bring a proof. Where is your proof? When my daughter came to you, you asked her for proof. Now today you bring proof also." When he wakes up, he makes inquiries, rushes to the home of that fire worshipper, knocks at the door, governor on one side, subject on the other side, "Hand that family over to me." He says, "Ask anything else. Anything else I will carry out your command, but this I will not accept." At the same time, this family entered my home in the evening. By the morning, Allah had given my entire family the nur of hidayat and iman. At the same time you were seeing that dream, I was being handed the key to that palace by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That family, and yet, unfortunately, don't take this in the wrong way. I'm addressing myself first and foremost. We have become an ummah today of waqias and incidents. We like to listen to bayans. We like to hear about incidents. But the sabak behind the incident, the lesson behind the incident, and more realistically, halat and conditions, whether it's Palestine, whether it is Afghanistan, whether it is Somalia, multitudes of examples are there in front of us of the manner in which, like morsels, the ummah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being chewed up and spat out. From whichever direction, halat and conditions, news and akhbar is coming to us. Few tears are shed, hearts are melting. That is a requirement of iman. But what is the greater requirement? What is the greater requirement? My respected brothers, we have to understand in the heavens and in the earth, not one blade of grass, not one leaf, not one wisp or breath of air moves without the permission of Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهِ He is the ilah of the heavens and He is the ilah of this earth. Halat and conditions belong to Allah. Solutions to those halat and conditions are when we will turn back to Allah. Unfortunately, tears are shed. Du'as also are made. But the main requirement behind that condition, where Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah Ta'ala says, we will cause you, we will make you taste in this world a small azab. Before the big azab of the hereafter, not because Allah has forsaken you. Who is it that beats the children? It is their own parents. Who is it that scolds and reprimands the child? It is the own parents of that child. Not because the heart of that parent is devoid of love for the child. The heart is brimming with love for the child. Wallah, the heart of my Allah. Wallah, my Allah loves us more. My Allah loves us more than our parents love us. Allah has not forsaken this ummah. Halat and conditions are there for a reason. We will cause you to taste in this world a small azab before the big azab of the hereafter. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that you make tawbah. So that you come back to Allah. So that those actions which have brought about the ghadab and the wrath and the anger of Allah towards you, you sincerely repent before Allah and beseech Allah Ta'ala for His forgiveness. This ummah being outnumbered, this ummah lacking financial and military means, this ummah facing enemies and conditions and circumstances that were far greater than its own abilities, this is not a rare occurrence, but this is in fact the norm. But what was Uswa-e Hasana? What was the example which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instilled in Sahaba? That whatever the halat, whatever the condition, regardless of the number of the enemies, whatever the odds that were stacked against them, they had only one consideration and one concern only. Am I carrying out that which my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want me to carry out? If I am on that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want, then my home can go, my life can go, my wealth can go, everything can go. But wallah, Allah's qasam, I am successful in dunya also, I am successful in qabr also, and I will be successful forever and ever in the hereafter. If loss of life and loss of property and defeat on the battlefield is a sign of failure, then na'uzubillah, then Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the flowers of Karbala were failures and were not successful. That is not the logic by which this ummah will progress. They laid their lives down and they lived. They gave their lives and they lived. And Ibn Ziyad and Shimr planted the flag of victory and lost. Acquired land and lost. Acquired khilafat and lost. The success and failure of this ummah is not judged by defeat on the battlefield or loss of life and property. The success and failure of this ummah is judged by one thing and one thing only. Have I pleased my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? Khalat and conditions are there to bring us onto deen, to bring us onto the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ummah laying its life down for Allah's sake was never considered to be a loss. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Sahaba are proceeding for Muta, 3,000, enemies 300,000. What is 3,000 against 300,000? There is no logic that supports this. Yet when they receive the news of how many the enemy are, what is the reaction? إِنَّ الَّتِي تَكْرَهُونَ لَلَّتِي خَرَجْتُمْ تَطْلُبُونَ. O my companions, Abdullah bin Rawaha addresses his companions. What are you hesitating for? What is worrying you that your life will be given? That you will lose your life in the way of Allah? Is that your concern? What greater achievement can there be for us than Allah accepts our life in His way? مَا نُقَاتِلُ النَّاسِ بِعَدَدْ وَلَا بِكَثْرَ وَلَا بِقُوَى. This ummah's prominence, this ummah's dignity, this ummah's honor was never established in this dunya on the basis of its numbers or its weaponry or its science or its technology or its military might. This ummah's dignity and honor was established in this dunya on one basis only, هَذَا الدِّينَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, on the basis of Islam. And what is Islam? That from head to toe, every Sahabi was a moving, walking, talking Muhammadi. Was a living example, had clothed himself in the color and the uniform of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Alladhi akramana Allahu bihi. It is this that gave us izzat and dignity in dunya and in akhirat. Fantaliqu, go ahead. Whether they are 300,000 or 3 million, does not matter as long as you are on Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sabak and lesson this ummah has to understand. Habib bin Umair, put into a cell. Young Arab, taken captive by a Roman king. To exert their military might over Sahaba and the generation after Sahaba, what does this king do? They understood it is not numbers, it is not governments, it is not means that is giving them victory. It is their adherence to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is giving them victory. So what does he do? He puts a young, beautiful Roman princess naked in the cell with Habib bin Umair. Sharab is kept there, pork is kept there. And what is the directive? Entice him to commit haram. What is this sahabi's haram or zina, na'uzubillah? In what way does it affect victory on the battlefield? If we use our logic, there is no link, but the kuffar of that time understood what the believer of today doesn't understand. 3 days and three nights, she did everything possible. All her feminine wiles and treachery and trickery to entice him to haram. Yet, he doesn't even raise his gaze. For her to attract him, he has to look at her. He doesn't even raise his gaze. Finally, she reaches the end of her tether. What is the matter with you? What has happened to you? Are you a rock? Are you a stone? Why don't you look at me? Finally, he speaks. He says that, O woman, there is one Zat and one being, Al-Ghaybu Indahu Shahada. Al-Ghaybu Indahu Shahada. The Ghayb, the unseen, is apparent to him. Was-Sirru Indahu Alaniya. The secrets are known to him. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. He does not sleep, nor does he doze off. O woman, it is the fear of my Allah that is not allowing me to look at you. And she goes back to the king, Ayyuhal Malik, ila man arsaltani ila hajarin aw hadidin la yakul wa la yanzur. She says, O king, to whom did you send me? Did you send me to a piece of rock? Did you send me to a piece of metal? He doesn't eat, he doesn't look. When Sahaba marched in the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu into Palestine without resistance, read your history, read the history of this Ummah. Open up the annals of history. Incidents that are occurring today are not isolated. Allah's sunnah is the same in every era, in every period. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Allah doesn't deviate from His sunnah. Allah doesn't move away from His sunnah. This ummah being outnumbered, this ummah having the nations of the world gather against it, is nothing new. It happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, it happened afterwards. When the message reaches Medina Munawwara, Ahzab, what does Ahzab mean? Ahzab means groups. It means a united front. That the disbelievers have formed a united front and they are marching towards Medina with one goal, to wipe out Islam. What was the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. My Allah is sufficient for me and my Allah is the best of protectors. Allah is sufficient for us. No time to go into the details. The trench is dug. One incident only I will mention. While Sahaba are digging the trench, stones are tied to their stomachs. Their homes are empty. There's no food. It is bitterly cold. Sahaba, a few thousand, Ahzab, a united front, is marching towards Medina to wipe them out. Yet what is the jazba? What is the zeal? This is an ummah. When halat and conditions turn against it, their closeness to Allah becomes greater. The fervor of iman becomes greater. What is the jazba and zeal? On their lips are the words, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا. We are that jamaat and we are that group that has taken the oath of allegiance on the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as long as there is breath in our bodies, as long as there is breath in our bodies, we will strive in the way of Allah. This is the ummah of Aqaba. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, I'm digressing. Our munasabat and our link and our attachment with our deen is very minimal. Ask somebody about the history of South Africa. Very quickly, even our youngsters will tell us the history of South Africa. But ask the same person about the history of Islam. Muharram has come. New Year has come. Where does our calendar start? What is the significance of Muharram? Where does the calendar of this ummah start? Illa mashallah, majority of us won't even know. Yet what a great legacy of qurbani and sacrifice. What a rich legacy of striving for the establishment of Allah's deen lies behind the Islamic calendar. Year in, year out in Mina, the most beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 to 10, person to person, may yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who is there that will help me? Who is there that will shelter me? Become my sati, become my companion for what? Hatta uballigha risalata rabbi, so that I can make tabligh of this deen. The invitation to become the servant of Allah's deen, the invitation to become muballigh of Allah's deen, the one who will convey Allah's message to humanity, person to person, tent to tent in Mina, year in and year out, he carried it out. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَى عَلَيْهِ التُّرَابِ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّ عَلَى وَجْهِ They swore at him, they mocked him, they rebuked him, they beat him, they insulted him, his Mubarak blood spilt on the land of Mina. Yet incessantly he carried on, 10 years, 10 years of effort. Why the concern was not just for the people of that time, his heart brimming over with the concern and the love of the entire humanity. How this insaniyat and how this humanity can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. Finally, in the 11th year, after 11 years of effort from Yathrib, Medina Munawwara, 6 people come. Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubada bin Samit, Saad bin Rabih, Abdullah bin Rawaha, As'ad bin Zurara, and Haritha bin Nu'man, radiyallahu anhum. 11 years of da'wat, 11 years of qurbani, 11 years of sacrifice, 11 years of untold suffering and hardship. 6 people say labbaik. 12th year, 12 people come from Medina. And finally in the 13th year, the month is Zulhijjah, in Aqaba, 72 people come from Medina Munawwara. Amongst them are 2 women, Umme Mani and Umme Ammara, 70 men. In Aqaba, in Mina, they take an oath of allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before taking this oath, Abbas radiyallahu anhu, Abbas bin Nadala, cautions them. Think about what you are doing. هَلْ تَدْرُونَ عَلَى مَا تُبَايِعُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ Do you know? Do you even realize the veracity of what you are doing? When you place your hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this ummah today very easily says, I am Ashika Rasul. I am the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am his follower. His name is Ghulam Muhammad. His actions are that of Dushman e Muhammad. His actions are that of the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today this claim of being his follower has become cheap, has become easy. In that period of time they understood that the claim of being his follower carries with it qurbani and sacrifice. Abbas cautions them, he says, it is not a possibility, it is not a likelihood, it is an absolute certainty. When you will take oath of allegiance on the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unhikat amwalukum musiba wa ashrafukum qatla innakum tubayi'unahu ala harbil ahmari wal aswadi minan nas. Ajib. This band of 72 people is being told, that by placing your hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are declaring war on the entire humanity. The whole world will turn against you. Your women will become widows. Your children will become orphans. Your men will be slaughtered. The streets of Medina will flow with your blood. You will become poor. Your wealth will be gone. Your possessions will be gone. Everything will go. And this is not a possibility. This is a certainty. Without hesitation, such was the nur of iman in their hearts. Without hesitation, each one said, "Ubsud yadaka ya Rasulullah," stretch out your hand. And one by one they took bayat. One by one they took the oath of allegiance. This oath of Aqaba was the foundation of hijrat, of muhajireen from Makkah, and the nusrat of Ansar Medina in Medina Munawwara. And it was this significant event which in fact constituted the starting of the Islamic calendar. So that each year in Muharram, instead of celebrating and rejoicing, each year in Muharram, this ummah is reminded of this great sabak and lesson that your time is amanat, your wealth is amanat, your life is amanat. You have to become a living embodiment of the verse of the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Amongst the believers are men who have fulfilled the covenant with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some have given their lives to Allah. Some are waiting to give their lives, striving in the way of hidayat, striving to raise the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this earth. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they will never shift from this. In Muharram, through this incident, every year, through the starting of your Islamic calendar, the ummah is reminded that you are not an ummah that came to acquire this dunya. You are an ummah that came to spread the nur of hidayat. You are an ummah that came to exhibit the legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon humanity. So when the news came, that the whole world has gathered against you, Ahzab is coming towards Medina Munawwara, what was the reaction of Sahaba? هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. They did not become despondent. They did not lose their himmat and courage. They said, this is what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised, that everyone will turn against us, and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have spoken the truth. The trench is being dug. I'm cutting the incident very brief, very short. Inshallah, in 5 minutes we'll terminate. Sahaba come across a huge boulder, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his section. He comes across a huge boulder, unable to break it. They send for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The riwayat is mentioned in Bidayah wa Nihaya. Sahaba say, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, such was the extent of his qurbani and sacrifice. They say from head to toe his body was full of dust. He could not even be recognized. Ma'subun. Ma'subun. Bihajarin ala batnihi. He had a stone tied to his stomach to alleviate the pangs of hunger. He came to them. Akhad al-mi'wal. Took the axe from Salman Farsi. Struck the boulder. Recited the verse of the Quran. Wattammat kalimatu rabbika sidqa wa adla la mubaddila li kalimatihi wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. The boulder broke in one third, struck it the second time, second third broke, struck it the third time, third portion of it broke and splintered. Each time a light rose up. Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked him that, Ya Rasulullah, what is the light? What was that light that each time came up? He said, the first time Allah Ta'ala showed me the palaces of Yemen, second time palaces of Syria and Damascus, third time Allah lit up the east to me. Behind this is the message, that my deen and the light of hidayat and my ummah will prevail over all these places. Storms tied to the stomach, united army against them. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Yet in such adversity and such hardship, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives them glad tidings that the noor of Islam will spread to the four corners of the world. Why? What is the sabak? What is the lesson? That in this adversity, in this hardship, in this difficulty, in this qurbani, in this sacrifice, Allah has kept the spreading of hidayat. That hunger, that difficulty, that hardship which my ummah will undergo will not go to waste. It is that qurbani which will water the gardens of hidayat. To complete that incident which we mentioned earlier, Sahaba enter Palestine without resistance. The Jews of Palestine say to them, "We are prepared to hand over the key to the city to you, without war, without fighting, on condition that your Amir comes to collect the key." Message is sent to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Medina Munawwara. Muarrikheen write that the journey from Medina to Baytul Muqaddas will take little over 3 days. The time period of 17 salah. What are the means which they use to entice Sahaba towards defeat and loss? Sahaba were camped outside Baytul Muqaddas. 17 times they had to leave their camp and go to Baytul Muqaddas and perform salah and then come back to their camp. What did the Jews do? They lined the streets with naked women. They didn't use atom bombs. They didn't use military might. They didn't use firepower. They lined the streets with naked women. Because as we mentioned earlier, what the kuffar of that time understood, the believer of today does not understand. Sahaba, 17 salah. They went from the camp to Masjid al-Aqsa. Not a single sahabi even raised his gaze. They understood, as long as Allah is with us, as long as we are carrying out that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want, no force or no system in this world will ever prevail over us. As the day draws near when Umar is coming, his body is full of dust, he's riding a camel, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala says to him, "Amirul Mu'mineen, why don't you ride an Arab horse? Why don't you wear smart clothing? Let the people become overawed with the might of Islam." What is the reaction of Umar? It should be written down in gold for the ummah till qiyamah. He strikes the chest of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. And he says to him, "If my Nabi," the mafhum of what he said, "if my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not said about you what he said," referring to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that every ummah has one amanatdar person, one ameen person. And the amanatdar person of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, "If my Nabi had not said about you what he said, I would have beat you in such a way that it would have become a lesson to everyone else for you to make such a suggestion to me." And then he addressed the companions and he said, Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allah bil Islam. إِذَا نَبْتَغِ الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهِ. We are a nation, we are a people whom Allah gave respect, dignity and honor through Islam. If we will look for honor, if we will look for dignity, if we will look for status, if we will look for protection in anything else besides Islam, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهِ, Allah will disgrace us and Allah will bring us down. There is only one recipe, one formula. Let that youngster who today wants to march, Let that youngster who wants to chant slogans and march and say that he is raising the flag of Islam, that same youngster, tomorrow morning when the muazzin at the time of Fajr says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that warrior of Islam, that warrior of Islam doesn't have the strength to lift the 50-ounce blanket from his body and go to the masjid. What flag of Islam is he ever going to raise? What dignity of Islam is he ever going to establish? Take the lesson of Muharram. Take the lesson of Qurbani. Take the lesson of Karbala. 10th of Muharram. Friday, 61st year of Hijrah. The greatest personality at that time living on the earth, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says to Zuhair bin Qain, the right hand flag holder, go to Shimmer, tell him it is the time of Jumu'ah. They were musafir, they were going to make Zuhr. Tell him, stop the hostilities so that my salah can be performed. So that we can make our salah. My respected brothers, I am speaking to you now. In my heart is the desire, even though I am not worthy of it, through this Allah must give me Jannat. You are listening, in your heart is the desire, through this amal, Allah must give you Jannat. This is that personality. This is that personality who, when he was in his cradle, when he was in his cradle, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already said, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah Al Hasan Wal Hussein, that the leader of the youth of Jannat, the leader of the youth of Jannat is my grandchildren, Hasan and Hussein, radiyallahu anhuma. In his cradle, he was already given the key to Jannat. And yet, on the battlefield, laying down his life, what is the tamanna? The command of my Allah is that of salah. My salah must not be made qada. What is the reaction of Shimmer? Shimmer says, tell him his salah is not accepted. Zuhair bin Qain says, mal'oon. That personality because of whose family we got salah, his salah is not accepted and your salah is accepted. Permission was not given. Despite that, their water had been cut off. The wudu of that salah was probably made from his own blood. Half the family put in front, other half behind made salah. Then the one in the back went front, and those that were in front came back, and they carried out their salah. That sajda on the 10th of Muharram, 61st year of Hijrah, on the burning sands of, scorching sands of Karbala, must have been made, the like of which it is doubtful till Qiyamah whether any other sajda like that will ever be performed. Yet the salah was not allowed to be made qada. And before the asr of that day, his life had already been given in the way of Allah. That youngster who because of his exams will make his salah qada. Those homes of the ummah, which years upon years have passed, and it is only the rising of the sun, or that gym appointment that we have at 6 o'clock, or that some business deal that we want to have to go to, or that some commitment that we have that causes us to rise up from our beds, azan upon azan falling on deaf ear, command upon command of Allah being broken, the home resounding with the voice and the message of shaitan, that Isha Salah is difficult, but midnight in front of the shaitan box is easy. What lesson of Karbala have we understood? What lesson of Muharram have we understood? My respected brothers, halat and conditions are coming. The need, the cry, the call of the hour. One is solidarity with our Muslim brothers and sisters, and with our little babies of this ummah that are suffering. But know and understand, my respected brothers, it is our zina. It is our music. It is our sharab. It is our azan upon azan falling on deaf ears that has brought these halat and conditions upon the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah is not ghafil. Allah is hadir. Allah is qadir-e-mutlaq. The same Allah who sent down the malaika of Badr can send down his malaika today, but the ummah has to come back to Allah. This ummah has to knock the door of tawbah. This ummah has to take the sabak and the lesson behind the halat and conditions that are around us. The ummah has to come back to the masjid. This ummah, understand, never in the history of this ummah have we numbered more than we number today. Never have we had more governments than we have today. Never have we had more wealth than we have today. Never have we had more technology than we have today. And yet never in the history of this ummah have we been more disgraced and downtrodden than we are today. Aaj ummat pareshani mein hai aur is pareshani se nikalne ke liye aise raaste dhoon rahe jisse pareshani barhta hai. Today the ummat is in a plight. To solve its plight, it is looking in that direction, which in fact will increase its problems. Our problem is not lack of means. Our problem is that we have forsaken Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The new year has come. Muharram has come. The time of reflection has come. Each one of us, whilst our hearts once again are brimming over with tears, over that Karbala which is happening today again, in that Muqaddas land and that Zameen which was the birthplace of Anbiya upon Anbiya, whilst our hearts are brimming over with tears and are softened by what is happening, whilst we are crying out with the pain of it, my respected brothers, let not the Qurbani and sacrifice of our brothers and sisters in Palestine or in Afghanistan, or wherever it is in the four corners of the world that the ummah is suffering, let not their qurbani go to waste. We make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that each of those little babies whose lives are being laid down in the way of Allah, for no other crime or no other wrong besides the fact that they are reciters of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, let it be such that you send Abdullah bin Hussein, you send Aun and Muhammad bin Jafar radiallahu anhuma, the young children of Karbala that became shaheed. Ya Allah, send them for the istiqbal of these children. Ya Allah, every father whose life is laid down, Ya Allah, send Hussein radiallahu anhu for his istiqbal. Ya Allah, every mother, send Fatima and send Sakina radiallahu anhuma for their istiqbal. Their lives are being given. Let not their qurbani go to vain. Let not their qurbani go in vain. Take the sabak of their qurbani, my respected brothers. Too long we have distanced ourselves from Allah. Too long we have distanced ourselves from the masjid. Too long we have turned our backs on our responsibility that this life of ours and wealth of ours belong to Allah. We have to strive in the way of Allah and link one person to Allah. Call one person to Allah. Call one person to the road to Jannat. Make that effort how one person can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. Let our day become the day of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let our night become the night of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq. Before we commence the dua, very, very briefly, my respected brothers, with regards to the day of Ashura, this is a very, very great day. In the mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person who will fast on the day of Ashura, 1 year's sins Allah Ta'ala will forgive. In fact, the month of Muharram is a month where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted a great deal. So if you cannot fast in the whole month, then at least the day of Ashura and the day after the day of Ashura, those who are fasting today and tomorrow, otherwise tomorrow and the next day. And Sahih Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man wassa'a ala ahlihi yawma ashura'a, wassa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi." That person who will be generous, that person who will be generous upon his family on the day of Ashura, Allah Ta'ala will be generous upon him throughout the entire year. So we should try and increase our generosity upon our family in this day. Try and spend it in fasting, in ibadat, in crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tawbah, in making dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq.